With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Flooding.
I'm Chris Caraggio, NBC News Radio.
You're on board KCAA's Inland Talk Express. KCAA, Loma Linda, 1050 AM. The station that leaves no listener behind.
During this time of uncertainty, Indy's Demolition in Huntington Park is open for business and the staff is optimistic about the future of our community. Now, more than ever, it's time to shop local. Indy's Demolition encourages all listeners to support small businesses and local families. Share your buying and service experiences online and by word of mouth. Together, we can mend the fabric of our community. That's from Indy's Demolition in Huntington Park, where they're reminding everyone your hand is the heart of our community.
Hi, I'm food critic Alan Borgen, and I'm excited to tell you about Ray's Shanghai Bistro, located next to Redlands DMV on Ligonia in Redlands. Ray's Shanghai Bistro offers the largest and most delicious array of traditional and original Chinese dishes available in the Inland Empire. Some of my favorite dishes are the house-made pot stickers, the crisp pork spare ribs with garlic, their unique spicy lamb with bamboo, the sweet and tangy deep-fried orange peel beef, and the savory basil spicy shrimp plus lots of vegetarian dishes. Whether you dine in, pick up the food, or have them cater your next party or special occasions, you will see why Ray's, spelled R-U-I apostrophe S, Shanghai Bistro, is truly the best Chinese restaurant in the Inland Empire. Their website is RaysShanghaiBistro.net. That's RaysShanghaiBistro.net. RuisShanghaiBistro.net. Happy eating. You won't be disappointed.
Rawlings Automotive, Inc. reminds listeners this Memorial Day to take a moment and recognize our men and women in uniform. Take a few moments and write a letter of encouragement to those who are separated from family. This reminder from Rawlings Automotive, Inc., third-generation family-owned and operated repair shop providing professional service for over 45 years. For diagnostics, engine repair, electric service, custom-built engines, and much more, call 951-361-3001. That's 951-361-3001. Or visit RawlingsAutoInc.com. That's RawlingsAutoInc.com. That's Rawlings Automotive, Inc. on the air because they care.
Medicare clarified. Hi, this is George Litchfield with Litchfield Insurance Associates. Well, it's getting close to that time of year again where you want to make sure you're getting the most out of your Medicare plan. There are exciting new plans for 2022 with United Healthcare, SCAN, and others. For your no-obligation review, people are calling 951-314-1949. If you're turning 65, new to the area, or losing group coverage and have questions about Medicare, you are invited to our new offices and resource center at the Sundance Corporate Center, 835 Highland Springs Avenue, Suite 305 in Beaumont. For your no-cost Medicare consultation, people are calling 951-314-1949 to get their Medicare clarified.
You're listening to an encore presentation of this program, KCAA, the Inland Talk Express.
No matter what it is in life that you want, you gotta go out there and get it. Still nothing to a sleeper but a dream. Never give up. Never give up on your goals. Stay focused on you. Focus your view. Succeed, cause I'm hoping you do. Keep climbing up the ladder, cause the key to success. Go hard and go home. Never settle for less. Life is stress, but we gotta deal with it, homie. Send a prayer to the man to put a shield on it. Work hard for what you get. Appreciate what you got. You can always improve. Just don't stop. Going for your dream to achieve in your life. Gotta take a chance like rolling the dice. It won't come to you, so you gotta go get it. At the end of the day, add up the digits. Miss Price used to say, if there's a will, there's a way. So I live by it. Until this very day, I kept on mashing and I never gave up. Me believing in myself is the way I came up.
Won't you down, you gotta get up. These are your dreams. Never give up. Never, never give up. Never give up. You gotta keep on hustling.
Don't get caught up in the fashion. The lifestyle is plastic. Move right.
slaves, we gon' rock it. You gon' make it, keep believing.
What's up, team? This is Robert Porter with the I Love San Bernardino County Radio Show on KCAA NBC 106.5 FM, 1050 AM. We will talk politics, culture, and history. Today we have two guests with us today. We have Dr. Treasure Ortiz. How are you doing today?
I am super duper. How are you?
And Manny Sandoval in the house. How you doing, brother?
What's up, guys? I'm doing great. Yeah, how are you?
I am doing incredible. It was a beautiful day today. I spent a lot of it outside with my pups, you know, giving them a little pet out in the garden and enjoying just the sun on you. But there's a little bit of breeze, a little chilly, but still not much nicer than it's been.
Yeah.
Rainy all the time. Which I love the rain, so please, we can get some more rain.
That's highly controversial, too, the fact that sometimes we don't get rain, and then we got it, and it's like, oh, but wait, that's too much.
Yeah, we need more. We need more rain.
We should have a whole segment on global warming and the effects of getting 10 years of rain in 10 days. So,
And the other aspect is, like, when it rains, it's kind of like the earth, like, flushing the toilet, you know, everything gets cleaned off. You know, the springs get replenished.
Talking about Yamavar,
Yeah.
Spring awakening.
Yes, definitely. Whoa, I'm falling down.
Wow. The spirit just took over the chair.
You know, everything does get washed off, washed down, cleaned, except the cars. I wish that happened with the cars. For some reason, it's just like they turn into mud.
Yes.
We had that one crazy day where it ash mud all over the cars not too long ago. So it did wash that off.
Yeah.
But one of my favorite things to say is, you know, like, what we do is when the rain comes, is it washes down through Santa Ana and it washes all our trash down to Orange County.
There you go.
Yeah, they can have it all.
Yeah.
They want our water, they can take our trash.
Yeah, exactly. You got to take the good with the bad, right? Exactly.
Everything does end in the ocean,
yeah.
So.
Well, let's hope it maybe just, like, maybe it just settles right in there and stays away from the dolphins and the turtles.
Love dolphins.
But it is awesome that we're getting plenty of rain. All my plants that are coming out of their dormancy and covered in flowers, especially the prunus species, anything with stone fruits like peaches and plums and stuff, they need those cold hours.
Right.
And we got quite a few this year. So that actually, you know, makes them bloom like mad, which means plentiful harvest.
All I know is you have avocados, and I have yet to have one of your avocados.
Oh, man.
So I'm just going to say that live so the whole community knows.
I will see you on Wednesday, right? So I'll try to bring you some avocados if I can remember.
Okay.
I do get asked for avocados all the time, and I try to get them out everywhere.
I see you are probably one of the most liked neighbors in your neighborhood. You give avocados to one of your neighbors,
right? Wait a second. My neighbor... I like just both of them. One side I get ribs usually back, and the other side I get tacos and traditional Mexican meals.
Right,
And they, you know, they love fruit. So it's kind of like – and then new neighbors, you know, when they come around, there's a lot of renting going on in San Bernardino. So try to give them something. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's the best gift ever. My dad taught me that. He used to give avocados for every Christmas present.
Wow.
Yeah, Christmas present, birthday present. He would go around, you know, like the avocado Saint Nick. I guess it'd be Saint Peter. My dad's name.
Right.
Well, team. Before we get into the interviews here, I'd like to mention our sponsors: Fire Mariscos and Wings over on Court Street. We just went over this weekend. They had a live band play on. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday now. Mm. So the owner is back in town from New York. So Geraldo's putting his final touches on, you know, getting the place back in order the way he wants it. We are going to have more fun as time goes on. I know the mayor will be coming over to a re-grand opening we're doing.
Nice.
So he's trying to get involved. He did also say he wanted to come to the city meeting. So we want to thank Fire Mariscos for everything they've done so far, trying to keep downtown revitalized and at least have some place open where you can get food over there in the evening, right?
I was going to say, too, the new office space I'm moving into is right across the street, Studio D, fifth floor of the Chase building. So it's literally right there. And I seen it this past Saturday and was thinking, I seen wings and I seen seafood on the same menu. And I said, very interesting, but what's your recommendation? Because I'm sure I'll try it.
I do like, well, if you want to get crazy, get the volcajete. So, okay. Like, it's like mussels, everything, yeah. You know, and it's nice and spicy. Okay. He did. What did we have this weekend? I did have wings this weekend.
Yeah,
the hot wings.
Okay,
and they were plenty spicy for me.
Right,
but yeah. I got the tacos. I like the shrimp tacos.
Okay.
My mom got the ceviche. The shrimp ceviche is really good. Like I really pretty much like everything I've eaten there. So
that's awesome.
And you're there often, so
yeah.
That's
but,
good.
But if I were to pick. I would pick seafood there.
Okay.
But yeah. I did like the wings. So
okay.
It's cool. Good.
And the owner wants our.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus.
Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Our downtown to be what we envision it to be in the future. So, like, we do need these businesses to hang on as long as possible. That's why we got to go there and shop.
Right.
And spend your money there. Yeah. Then we get local sales tax, and that stuff goes and pays for the potholes.
Yeah.
Yes.
If we can get them fixed.
That's what I'm always telling my friends, family members is quit going to Starbucks. Grow up and go to a real mom-and-pop coffee shop. And they get so mad at me because I always say that. Starbucks coffee is actually very weak. I'm not going to lie. So that's my little mini rant that I always share with people.
And if you don't want to go, that you go to Stater Brothers or a local business and buy coffee.
Yeah.
And then that money comes back into the community as well. So that there's a couple ways that you can really help San Bernardino, and by not going to Redlands over here and shopping all the time. You can go sometimes. I like State Street, right? But spend local, and especially Dr. Tom Pierce, and my second dad, an economist at Cal State San Bernardino, he always told me when I was growing up, if you don't shop at these small mom-and-pop businesses, they're not going to survive.
Right. Yeah.
And that was really important in our family to keep doing that. So,
especially when some of them have huge, like big rents every single month for the space they're occupying. That's always a big determinant. And so,
It might determine that they not last that long if they ain't getting profits. So,
right.
You know, a lot of times they'll take loans out to run the beginning first years of their businesses. And if they're not five years old. So that's where I come in. I'm trying to get you to Fire Mariscos, and I'm also trying to get you to head down to Celebrity's Bar and Grill on 40th Street. You know, Max is always in the thick of it. He always is. Lately, he's been trying to get some music in the place. It is like a kind of like a bar and grill, and on Friday nights it's a lot of fun over there. On Sundays he has a Sunday fun day, so he's doing stuff with that. He still is trying to poke the bear when it comes to City Hall for, you know, getting something done with our unhoused situation, our homeless need a spotlight put on this
he
stuff.
Should, you know, I think I've watched Max get on social media, but one of the most effective things you can do is actually come down to a council meeting, which I haven't seen him do, and really, you know, talk about this in person to the council, because you know, social media only goes so far, and the council, they don't watch the social media, and it's a way for them to excuse themselves from the conversation.
That's why he didn't just focus on social media. That stuff went
And it went on KTLA.
It went nationwide.
It went on the news for about 15 minutes, and now it's gone.
And he did try to reach out to the some council members. He did make it to the mayor's. They haven't still worked out. But he did come to the opening of the receiving of the check
at the Rose Bowl.
Yeah,
and so, you know what they did? They moved on. And so if we're going to continue the conversation, it has to be a continual conversation, because it's rinse and repeat in this city. It's like political amnesia. You talked about this last week. Homelessness has been a problem, but it's going to continue to be a problem as long as they can campaign on it. And so I know what Max is – I see what Max is trying to do and all the different angles, but it's a continued, like, nonstop.
Well, this is how continued it is. I – you know, the Facebook memories. My post came up. I took a picture of El Chicano newspaper, right? Yeah. And Anthony Victoria wrote an article about that the council was going to help alleviate homelessness, and they had an initiative. And I read through it, and I'm like, this is why I have a hard time just accepting what the powers that be right now saying, we're going to fix it, because these people told me they were going to fix it, right, too. And that was two mayors ago. Valdivia said he was going to fix it. He didn't. So, like, that's why I keep telling them. I go, okay, it's fine to do these small little things, right? You know, do this one with 80 beds. Do another one with 200. But we have to get to the 60% threshold of – I'm not sure what the new count is. Did they give out the new count?
It'll be out later this year. But
we're at 1,600, right? So we still need a lot more than, you know, 270 beds.
Well, we're working off 2,000 numbers, 2020 and 2021 numbers. So we're consistently years behind in addressing homelessness. But it's what becomes satisfactory, because it's like, okay, well, look, we have 80 beds. We have 150 beds. Well, you have 2,000 homeless. And if we don't cure and correct what we're doing right now, we're going to look like L.A., very quickly, and because they're it's being pushed out here. So
it's continuously been doing that for like.
But the same people who are like, they're dropping them off, they're dropping them off, are not doing anything to house. They're not doing anything to shelter.
Years, it's really been like incremental changes, like small ones, but it really doesn't solve the majority of or address the issue.
Right. Well, because we're creating homeless in our own city at the same time that they're being driven here is the same time that we're allowing slumlords to run amok. We're allowing the elderly to be put on the streets. We're allowing people to come in and buy and then evict. So the city is its own problem in a larger scheme of problems. And I just want to hear someone say that instead of on a show.
That's that's nationwide, right? Like, so just because you live in a colder climate, you don't have as big of a problem as we do, but they still have the same issues. And it's because it's, you know, like, it's kind of like they're a scapegoat, you know. Throughout history, we've had scapegoats, you know, from the Irish back in the day to African Americans to people who are gay, you know, all the way to now the homeless situation, right? It's like homeless people are actually just individual humans.
That's right.
Yeah, they're not like a group, and they really, a lot of them would be like, I don't even like that guy over there. I'm sure, you know. Like, but it's just easier for us to lump the problem into one thing. And this is a federal issue and a state issue. They need so hopefully they will wake up.
Yeah, it's definitely an issue at all levels of government. It's pretty, it's sad when you drive through like Second Street and you see Meadowbrook Park's on Second Street, and it literally looks just like a campsite.
Paris Hill Park's the same thing. I drove by there and I just counted. I was just coming down Valencia, one row. I didn't even go around. I counted 33 tents.
Wow, at Paris Hill Park.
Yes. Yeah. And it looked like a campground. Yeah. I'm like,
and Meadowbrook Park is pretty small. Yeah. And when I kind of just did a very quick sort. It was when they had the ribbon cutting for the Second Street Bridge. I want to say a week and a half ago. It was pouring rain that day. Felt pretty awful for all the people that were in the tents there, because it was cold. For us, like 40 degrees is freezing for the Inland Empire. And I counted around 18 in that tiny park. And I mean, I'm pretty sure there was more than one person occupying each tent. I'm sure some just had one, but that's a lot of people in a very small, just sort of small sample of the homelessness. And if that's any indication of what the entire city, county, and region has, I couldn't imagine what that looks like in total. So,
well, and to your point, remember when Sekum Lake was filled with like 72 homeless people, the answer was build a fence around it and then push them into Meadow. So we haven't actually gotten anybody off the street. What we're doing is just pushing them into different parks that don't have fences. Right. And that was a $2 million expenditure. Now, while Sekum Lake may look nice and it's being cleaned, what did we resolve as far as the larger problem?
Nothing.
And that's nothing.
Which is a good point. But the other part of that point is we also cannot forget that these parks belong to everybody.
Sure.
And like me personally, there's a local squatter that just got out of jail. We got him out of the house across the street from us, Catty Corner, right? Finally. He still thinks he owns it. He's out of jail. He comes out. He comes down from Parcel Park. He lives there right now. He comes down and he stands in front of the house and stares at the new owners.
Wow.
And when they come out to say something to him, he says, I own this house. And I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm in the street, and you can't do anything to me.
See, and right there, this is the problem, is that, and it's not a popular opinion. I understand the heart for homelessness. We're talking about housing. Yeah. We're talking about getting them wraparound services and the things they need. But at the same time, the regular 97% of us are held hostage to the fact it's like, oh, I'm sorry someone stole your stuff. They probably needed it more than you. I'm sorry you're being terrorized and people are defecating in your front lawns because they have nowhere else to go. We have to fix that for us because we're essentially paying for the services they're going to be provided. And there is nothing but excuses for why they don't have to be a part of the regular society.
And to take it one step further, they're also doing that amongst themselves.
Right.
So if we solve that issue of the criminality within the homeless population, it will actually help the ones that are. Because like when I've spoken with a lot, and there is usually the local boss amongst the people in an area.
Right.
And then that person is usually the drug dealer, and he has to answer to the local gang who will probably do something very bad to you if you're not paying. Right?
And also, too, from a business perspective, too, just mitigating the homeless issue at the rate that it should be mitigated would definitely make it easier for the city to garner, you know, responsible business owners and business owners that could potentially generate revenue for the city and the local area. So I think
instead of losing businesses that provide sales tax, like what was it, AAA, that left because they didn't want to bring their customers there,
right
next to the police department,
I was not aware that the Stater Brothers that was near the Carousel Mall was closed until maybe about 3 weeks ago, and I'm sure it's been closed for a period of time, but I could only imagine, and this is just an assumption, but I could just imagine the reasons why. So and that's probably the reason why a lot of those spaces and stores are, you know, unoccupied in downtown San Bernardino, and it's pretty sad. So I had a conversation with San Bernardino Police Chief Darren Goodman, I want to say 2 weeks into his, stepping into his role last June, I believe. And we were talking about specifically.
Has it been one year now? It's
almost.
I believe it's in June. And so, I believe it was around the time when the police department began occupying a space at the Inland Center Mall. And obviously that was, you know, put in place to, you know, make people feel a little more protected and safe shopping there. And, you know, I'm from San Bernardino, obviously own a business in San Bernardino. And but he asked me, he said, do you go to the Inland Center Mall? And I said, no. He said, why? And I said, I usually drive to Victoria Garden, so I pass it,
or I shop. What about hot dog on a stick, dude? You gotta get a cheese on a stick, man.
This is also an unpopular opinion. I am not a hot dog on a stick fan at all.
You don't like those cheese on a stick?
No, I'll pass on those.
I'll eat like three.
But I think too, and people look at it as like, I feel like a lot of people in our society have a chip on their shoulder and they think from the perspective of, you know, I worked to have what I have to get where I am. But it's at the same time, it elevates everybody when we all win. And so when we're all elevated, like, it's better for all of us.
Same thing for all the unhoused. Like, if we're all doing better, like, you'll be doing better too. And if you... The situation isn't all the same around the world. So you go out to like Huntington Beach or Newport, and you get away from Newport and you start going to Laguna area, you don't see hardly any homeless.
No,
like,
not
what's
at all.
What is going on differently there? Like, well, their police force is pushing them out to other places or corralling them into areas.
Right.
We can't do that anymore because there's no place left to corral. So that means hopefully, you know, my whole goal would be to build 500 beds or more, hospital-like homeless shelter with a probation department in there, a police substation, medical professionals from mental to physical health, you know, everything in a one-stop shop, and then plant 15 of them around the area.
Well, we built how many warehouses? And I mean,
couldn't we turn the warehouse into one?
We really could. And if we look at the original specific plan for Baseline and Waterman, that was built all on the predication of housing and commercial development. We overrode that plan to build in the Inland Empire a million square feet of warehouses. So what we could have done is even taken a warehouse that's been unused and created three floors. Women on top, women and families and men on the second floor, and then men on the first floor, and a huge wraparound services, and been able to house over 2,000 people at a warehouse.
I love that idea.
Let's go for it.
What good is an empty warehouse anyways?
Right.
You know, I'm actually tired of warehouses. When we went up the Edawana Preserve, and if you go up the, have you ever been up to that North Edawana Preserve and hiked all the way to the waterfalls, and then you look down? And you look straight, and you're like, just past it a one in Ranch Cucamonga. Oh. It's just nothing but warehouses, like a huge area. Like, yeah. I'm like, that all used to be people's homes right there. You know, like, and I guess maybe politicians look at that and see success. I don't know what makes them think that, like.
Because that's where they get their political donations.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
Maybe that is a reason, but not for everybody. I guess something's better than nothing. You know, some people don't care about – we were talking about that just a minute. Some people don't know how to ask for money properly, right? Some people like Valdivia, they're good at it. Like,
oh, he'd sell his mother for a donation. I mean, that – and he probably, like, with zero cares. But that's the thing. Is
Did you see him in that recent article?
He came out for a whole email quote. Can we, for one second, John Valdivia, he spoke about the ad hoc committee for the downtown redevelopment, talking about how inept they are. Can we stop for 1 minute and remember John Valdivia try to sell our downtown to the People's Republic of China?
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Like, he was trying to under.
Was it? Didn't he also help appoint that ad hoc committee? Or right?
No. You know what the problem is that we know very well that the mayor had a hand to play in this Surplus Land Act violation, because all of him, Rob Field, the previous city manager, you had Mike Hartley, the previous economic development manager, Oliver Mojica, the previous planning manager, all of them are on the emails regarding all the discussions that I pulled in public records. So the mayor was underhandedly trying to get rid of it. The previous city manager never supported the downtown. And we talk about supporting businesses. Go ahead and kill what will be the greatest development in this city in a quarter of a century and see how far we get economically.
So let's get into this a little bit, right? I know we missed your guys' intro and everything, but...
It's fine.
Yeah, but like... So. When you look at it, like, Valdivia wanted his team to win that contract no matter what.
Right.
And I don't think he would have done anything that would have hurt that process in the possibility of in the future getting more from the Chinese, you know, Communist Party, basically. Mm-hmm. Right? Right? That's what – he wanted more to come. So, like, something in between that – like, the time when he lost – he gave up. I wonder if that's – if you could actually find through the emails when it was that, like, he decided, hey, I'm not going to let them know about this, or we didn't study about this, or I know and I'm just not going to – I'm going to let them crawl and – because right now, Fred, Teddy, and Kim are going to take all the heat for being on that hot committee,
But here's
committee,
the thing
right?
is, they didn't know. Nobody, and I've reached out to a lot of the council members, nobody knew about this. This was an internal – and, you know, I'm one of the hardest people on the council for accountability and transparency. I cannot, with the exception of Teddy, at all feel like they at all knew – because they have been supportive of this, they have been pushing, and this is an internal mechanism. Nobody saw the application except for the employees inside City Hall. BB and K, our city attorney, now Elizabeth Hurl is the appointed attorney to this project. She was out with Robert Field and Lincoln Group. She had been seeing all of the information in the ad hoc committee. BB&K failed us
and
the council.
And it's her responsibility to get the rules, laws, and regulations to the ad hoc committee so they can make a proper decision.
And public. Let's not forget, I did the background. So I went through, just to make sure I wasn't saying anything out of pocket, I've gone through every meeting since 2019 where the downtown redevelopment was concerned. Never once did BB&K said, excuse me, council, please do not approve the 11, the RFP for the 11. Do not stop and condense to 3 because we're in violation of the Surplus Land Act. Never once did BB&K ever speak up and tell us we were mismanaged, we were too far ahead of ourselves, let's stop the process and fix this. They've been silent on this the whole time, and now it's like, oh my God, we're going to fix this. We didn't know. We had no... And so, this is the same attorney that let everybody in Bell go to jail.
Like, there's several possibilities, but there's incompetence, right?
If there, not...
There's straight out withholding the information.
Right. Yes.
There's not really even caring, thinking it's not there. No one's going to, you know, there's a few things that could happen. But unfortunately, I also have to say this about the ad hoc committee. Councilman Charette, Councilman Sanchez, and Councilman Calvin, it's your job to make sure that they are giving you the right information and be on it. This is a lesson for you all.
Right.
Because they... you're the one that are going to get blamed.
That's right.
Yeah.
And what are they going to say? My thing is just... Who's going to speak out about this? Is it just another, you know, CYA moment? This, I love the city's phrase, we're just going to move forward. Or are you guys going to, when are we going to start fixing the lies and calling them out and holding people? Because you cannot convince me, I'll be honest with you, that only 4 people in this entire city knew and nobody that's currently there had any clue what was happening.
Yeah, like to me it seems like the first thing you would do when you have a big project like this is like, go to the state and say, hey, can you give me a checklist?
Not only did they have a checklist, they had an application, which I've posted. They said, did anybody send a letter of interest about building affordable housing? And they said, no. And then it was, if yes, what did you do about it? How did you? And the city, they just lied. And then they got the letter back, which said, we're approving your SLA because you told us that nobody bid. Nobody had any interest that was going to build affordable housing. And we come to find out it was a – why lie? If the city, which in their response says, we did it right, but we just didn't – they weren't going to build out on all 43 acres. If you did it, why'd you lie? What was the point if you believed you had done the process correctly?
If they were smart, they would have made that thing 50% affordable housing.
It would have never penciled out. You can't – and I want to make – this clear. The 43 acres is just the mall. We don't receive property tax as right now under the process of our city. So at 50% affordable housing, nobody could have built it. And at 25%, it's going to be hard to build. There's 450 acres around where we can, if we do it correctly and get enough of the sales tax revenue by building to pay for this, we could build beautiful affordable housing all around to where it's mixed income everywhere and everybody will get a piece of the downtown. As long as we don't fixate on 43, we get 450 for everybody. And that's my, when I see this and I see this SLA, because in the grandfathered in, they only had to build 15% affordable housing. Now they're at 20%. So I'm like, why lie? Like, why would you lie for 5%? Like, why would you – and why would you blow off? Well, because the problem is if we could subdivide the downtown like Rob Field wanted to do, like Teddy Sanchez came and talked about, and do a bunch of P-bids, well, then elected officials can get a whole bunch of dollars from developers who want to now make this prime real estate for themselves. So big.
I don't know about what Teddy said, but I think that it should be divided up and broken into pieces because I – it's been like 10 years, Treasure.
Well,
I've been watching this they're going to build it. Bam, it's done.
You've watched the city give to real estate agents. Mm-hmm. You've never watched the city work with a developer. And that's been the significant difference. You have to remember, they brought in Lincoln Group, was a complete financier who's built billions of dollars in commercial development. And in less than 45 days, Lincoln Group was like, oh, that's what we're not going to do is deal with your city because of the SLA. And as soon as they dropped out, the conversation was, your guys' SLA is bad. That's why I did a public records request November 8th. It was like, what happened with the SLA? Mm-hmm. And I got the applications, I got the letters, I got all this stuff. The puzzle of the piece dropped when mm-hmm. we got the letter. It was like, wow. Oh, y'all are crooked. And you lied. And somebody in your city dropped a dime on you, because if only four people knew, as the city claims, one of those four people called the state and said, we lied on the application. But wow. Who was it?
So somebody.
And you're the news guy, so go ahead and get that. Write that story.
Who do you think of the four people? Who do you think could have done it? You don't want to say, or you want to just?
You know what? I mean, let's look at all the suspects. Valdivia, right? He has every reason to want to watch this city fail. He's right now just praying to God that the developer.
That's what I was thinking.
Demolition.
Right when I read that mm-hmm. newspaper.
Oh, all of
email,
a sudden,
yeah.
He's available from his laundromat on the
no
west side for a comment.
He's been hiding in some hole somewhere.
That's right. He's over on Mount Vernon washing clothes and dollar bills. Yeah. So allegedly, and so then you've got Rob Field. You know, forced out of this city, failing mm-hmm. in everything that he's doing. And why would he have any reason want to see San Bernardino prosper?
Right.
Oliver Mojica, pushed out of the city, paid off in an undisclosed settlement. Like, not settlement, but to sign and go away from the city, which I got the public records request for. So why would he want to see the city prosper? He did everything he could for the mayor, and he still lost his job. So, and then you've got Mike Huntley, who...
But we can... also thank them, you know, whoever turned them in, right? Because at least the state is actually paying attention, and now they're going to be like, hey, you're going to do this properly, or we're going to take it.
Are you saying it likely is not just one person?
Oh, absolutely not.
Yeah.
No, I think this was, and I'm, you know, not big for conspiracy theories, but in our city, what we know is that if we can think it, it's probably true.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think there are a lot of people who are like, yeah, I want to watch you fail and fall on your face. Mm-hmm. And we're not here, so we're not going to, one, we're not going to jail for lying on a document. We're not going to, we don't live in your city, so we're not going to suffer economically.
Right.
You know, drown San Bernardino. And, or... what would be really fun is if it was somebody inside who's known this whole time and is like, I got to clean my soul. Mm-hmm. And I had to tell you guys, because who knew there was letter of interest?
Right.
And who would know to look if you had no knowledge, if only four people had knowledge?
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is much bigger. And I already requested all the documents.
Can you wait for Wednesday? This is
going to
be...
I cannot, because I'm going to closed session. And I'll tell you what, I hope this city does not walk out of closed session with BB&K. Why do you want an attorney on your team who brings you litigation? And we've already expended $4 million a year in their budget because we keep getting sued. Imagine being Artie Ico. And expending millions of dollars as a developer in good faith when you've got the community and economic development director going out to a meeting in the community and telling people, I'm looking and working with other developers for the downtown because this current one is no good. You've got Teddy Sanchez out here meeting with private developers and asking and running around with the city attorney having drinks like they're in a fraternity and the city's just a frat house and talking to private developers on the downtown. That violates the exclusive negotiating agreement that we have in place currently. We could be sued for millions.
So just to ask, how did you find out about them, you know, having drinks and linking up?
I ran into them in the bar. I'm not going to name the name at the sponsor, but they were having drinks, and that's what they do.
Yeah. Like, what? You know, that's their hangout. They hang out there.
So how unprofessional, in my opinion, BB&K is a contracted employee out having drinks with your boss, meeting with private developers, and none of it's being
publicly
disclosed.
I've never seen a private developer, but I've seen them hanging out.
Right.
But, I mean, everybody's got to, you know.
Not on my dime.
Yeah.
Not BB&K. No,
well,
I don't want the city attorney
like,
palling around.
I'm just saying, like, they could have been talking about anything. You're just hanging out. You know, sometimes you got to, like, hang out with your colleagues. You know, have a work
date.
But
you don't do that in the city.
They were having a work date. You know,
That is actually true because I also have my own personal PR business, but I don't go out in Redlands or San Bernardino.
Mm-hmm.
I say it has to either be San Diego or Vegas, somewhere at least a couple hours away. Because that's one thing. You don't party or make a fool of yourself in the town that you, you know, Do your business.
Look, I'm going to tell you, if you're going to act like John Valdivia, go to Irvine and the strip clubs like he did, Teddy. Stop doing this stuff across the street
Not
from
that
City
we
Hall.
Have anything against strip clubs. Just don't
just
do it
saying,
at the
just
one
don't
in
do
Redlands or San Bernardino.
Because everybody knows your business. Yeah. And I wish the council understood nobody is loyal and nobody keeps your secrets because everybody talks.
Yeah, politics is not,
it is not a
quiet
no.
thing.
It's
yeah.
that typical sort of notion. If it's me or them, it's them.
And everybody's a reporter. Mm-hmm. So everybody's
got a phone now. Yeah, yeah.
That's right. No,
hey,
it's
60,000 followers on I Love San Bernardino Facebook group. Yeah, you can expose anyone.
Do you remember
there.
The white jacket on I Love San Bernardino? One guy gets out of a car and into somebody else, and everybody's tracking his whole life. And he was just trying to get to work. So
you have to understand that the running of that page is very orchestrated. Like, you only see what I allow you to see because I am in control of everything that's approved.
I'm sure you've gotten
get
some
a,
nasty
it could get,
stuff
yeah,
on there.
It could be – like, I have to be – you know, I have to be kind because, like, and give people benefits of the doubt because we shouldn't really be, like, putting people through the court of public opinion, right, all the time. But sometimes it's just too good.
I'm sure when –
they got to let it go, you know?
I'm sure when Valdivia was mayor, you probably got a lot of sort of interesting messages geared towards him.
Well, even worse than that. Like, so, like, in Valdivia to me was better than Kerry Davis, right? Not in the sense of personally, like, but to me, like, I saw – business aspect that San Bernardino needed. Mm. And like when it came to Kerry Davis, they kept during his reign, he was just trying to fix everything that everybody else was telling him to fix. And all he was an accountant. Right. So you can go through the numbers, you can learn things about that. But like when, if you're still listening to what everybody else is telling you to do, you're not going to do a great job. And like I kind of felt like he got us through bankruptcy. We got our accountant to get us through bankruptcy.
Right.
He hated cannabis. I thought that putting those millions of dollars into our general fund was an important thing because otherwise those millions of dollars would just be out in the general fund in the gray market, right? And we didn't need that. So that's what I wanted to do. I saw a new potential revenue source for San Bernardino that did not exist before that. And I was like, let's do this. Let's get that off of the black market or the gray market and get it into our coffers.
I also remember Valdivia. Wasn't there a big article from a news publication? I won't name which publication, but in regards to, I guess Valdivia met with some cannabis, shop owners, and then it got robbed.
Oh yeah, and the guy got shot.
Yes, Sung was there. Yes. I did the whole story on it. Like it was after he had come there before, but we really don't know what he was doing. But several, when I talked to people at the Seshes, I don't go to Seshes anymore, but that at that time they were very prominent, especially at the Elks Lodge. And I've talked to people, and like he would go around and ask people and tell them that like, yeah, we're gonna make a daily kind of cannabis permit. Right.
Oh God.
For the Seshes and stuff. Like, and he would make all these like impossible promises, and then they go and make some of the most stringent cannabis regulations you could ever make. And I'm like, you're trying to squeeze out all the revenue. They finally woke up. Was it a year ago or 2 years ago? They made the new. They opened up the licensings.
Mm-hmm.
So. At least we'll come to a point where we'll get a certain amount, and that's probably what we'll get continuously every year, which is fine. I don't want a lot of growth in that. I just want the money to come in and $3 million?
Well, they're not collecting it. Like at the last meeting, they were we haven't collected. I'm like, this is a $1 billion industry, and you collected $500,000?
Wow.
The application fee was more than that. But you remember, Valdivia was making money not from the legal businesses, although he tried to scam and tell people, hey, I'll hook you up with a license. It was the black market ones that he was, I believe, in my own opinion, I can't prove it, but in my own opinion, in the last police regime, they were keeping police away from these places.
Wow.
And people knew that he had his name on a couple of them. So this undermarket, that's where the money was flowing, and it was the legal cannabis that was problem, because Valdivia was trying to create his own pharmaceutical cannabis company, of which I got the public records for that, and changed the measure in itself. Because what was John before he was an elected official? A pharmaceutical salesman.
Wow.
Yes.
And he... talked crap about cannabis, so don't ever let him do something like that. And he told
me that's because that's not his drug of choice,
and
Robert.
And I was sitting in Frank's Burgers with him and Bassine Richard, and we were putting out signs and everything for him one day. And it's me and Scott Olson and him, and like he's like, he goes, "Why don't you just get a job with the county or the city?" And I'm like, "Because they'll silence me." And I'm a cannabis advocate, right? He goes, "Well, why can't you just quit that stuff? It's no good. Tell me all these bad things about it." And the and trying to basically now I realize he's trying to slow me down because he's afraid I was going to get in on what he wanted. Right. Carmel Rowe had the game on lock. They shut her down, every aspect, right? Because she was starting to fund candidates against them, mm-hmm. right? So that's what they do. They like. They find a way. That's what they did with the fire union.
Oh,
right. Lord. They wiped that money out. Right. So they had to go to the county. So all that pack gone. Right. Mm-hmm. Then they could control more. They tried to do it to the police union too. They got close.
Hey, you know what? That POA. When I started this whole thing, I had never seen anything more underhanded. That's where the whole contentious relationship comes from. When mm-hmm. I got people calling me and they're like, "Hey, we're actually meeting. We got our own people meeting with Valdivia on the side right now. We're not going to support you. We're going to go with Juan because of X, Y, and Z." And I'm like, "You're cops, but this makes sense. So please don't." For one second think that you're going to create this community relationship right. when your whole funder is funding probably one of the most crooked elected officials mm-hmm. who is running illegal businesses, which drives illegal activity into our community, but you all are about the people. You're not. What you're about is making sure that you're properly funded with his four bought and sold council people.
Well, we did get rid of him.
Oh,
so
we did.
Yeah, so... You know what? This ain't gonna be all about Valdivia.
Okay.
We're changing this.
Throw it up.
Well, I was gonna say too, though, circle it back to homelessness and transitional housing. I know the city has Mary's Mercy Center, Mary's Village. What other organizations are there that people are able to go to other than Mary's Mercy Center? Do you guys know of any others?
There's a veteran one too.
Okay.
Time for Change, but they are specifically women. For that come out of prison.
And just to shout them out too, they just held the ribbon cutting for their Bebop Center, the Black and Brown
Kim
Opportunities
Carter.
For Profit
She's
Center.
She's a shining star.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I actually toured that facility maybe about 3 weeks ago, and they have everything from it basically is an incubator center for entrepreneurs, for women specifically, which I think is great. They're even providing them with access to an attorney to garner, you know, legal advice on, you know, their business and, you know, helping them file their business with the Secretary of State, with the county, in cities.
And then, having a business is one thing, but if you have a substance abuse problem, that don't matter, right? You're going to destroy your business. Mm-hmm. So a lot of women that have been through they're helping them through that substance abuse mm-hmm. issue and giving them the counseling they need to be able to run a business.
Right.
And
yeah.
that's what makes it so powerful that they're getting the support to mm-hmm. the point of running. Now, we actually need to take that entrepreneurship and, like, you know, there's a lot of entrepreneurs in San Bernardino. They just don't know how to get out there and
mm-hmm.
yeah.
and make it the next McDonald's.
That is true.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
But Kim will help you.
What I think is great specifically about them, and I know I've come across like one or two other organizations that, you know, help, you know, make that transition for the population is, I think it's great because they don't just give you, you know, here's a hotel like voucher to go stay mm-hmm. overnight. They actually help you from, you know, creating a resume to, you know, practicing how to, you know, interview for a job, to helping you land a job internally or externally, and, you know, helping you find housing, helping you with transportation.
Helping your kids have a stable environment for schooling.
Exactly, yeah.
Somewhere stable to live can, like, you know, be life-changing.
Yeah.
Great stuff, but I want to give some time to you guys. I'll start with you, Treasure. So you have your own show that you did yesterday. It's usually on Monday at 7:30. So tell us a little bit about your show and what you'd like to focus on.
So I started up Wake Up San Bernardino, which is a show that covers the hot topics in our city, but also more importantly, I review every agenda for the council meetings, for all of the upcoming commission meetings. I want to make sure that before people get there and hear the information, they're able to absorb it, because a lot of the times we don't know what's actually there just by reading it. So I use my expertise in public policy and administration to kind of break through what they're saying so that that everybody understands and then can go vocalize yay or nay depending on it. And it's been super great. I think we have to make sure that my mantra on it is to engage, to educate, and to empower our community so that the city is for us and by us.
Yep. And that will definitely sway some voters. It's if you have knowledge and you can actually use it to affect the way you vote, that's the best way to vote. Mm-hmm. Instead of just like, I like their name, or right. Really nice to be there.
It's sad, but name recognition is it's like good when it's you, but right. It's bad when it's the wrong person.
Yeah. Right. So.
But it is good when it's like Mr. Ramos, right? Like, if somebody named Ramos, you're like, yeah! Like, even Republicans come up and bend the knee for Mr. Ramos.
Right.
So I love that bipartisanship that makes for a very powerful politician in any sense.
Right.
I wish we could have a couple more of those. The lower level, they're starting to. There's some people's working their way. I like to watch the growth of our council members, and they're doing good. We will have Councilman Ben Reynoso on the show.
Gotcha.
In 2 Mondays, like, mm-hmm. So I'm taking next Monday off after Easter, even though we're we're still open here, but I'll be out of here, so you can play this show twice. By the way,
there you go.
You have a new business. Are you buying it, or you own it, or what's going on?
Currently, as of Friday night, midnight, the owner of Inland Empire Community News. It's a publication that was initially, I want to say, started in the 50s by Gloria Macias Harrison. She's started off as an activist and started it with El Chicano specifically. And that was to give Latinos a voice when, you know, during a time when they were very heavily, still an issue today, but very heavily depicted as, you know, gang members, as drug addicts, as gangsters, and
illegal
media. Exactly. Yeah. And illegal immigrants, and and we're much more than that. We are, you know, business owners, community leaders, and
75% of the area. Right?
Yeah. And so I'm very excited. I was 19 years old when I first started writing for them. I was a student at San Bernardino Valley College, wrote for free, and years later, I became a freelance writer and then an editor. And Gloria, who's the owner, or was the owner, she offered it to me last October. And so it's me 50-50 with Denise Berver. She's a 27-year employee of the company. So she's handling all of the back-end operations, like the legals and the advertising. And I'm more of the front-end, the partnership building, the, writing, reporting, and editing. And, so a lot of work. And I definitely very passionate about writing, and I feel like it's definitely come easy to me over the years just because it's what I feel like I'm good at. So and I've actually interviewed Treasure here, and definitely gonna have to collab.
Oh yeah.
Congratulations,
by the way.
No way.
I mean, that's awesome.
Yeah, and thank you.
In the way that newspapers are dying, right? It's important that we keep these local newspapers going.
I was actually talking.
Gloria probably needed to retire a while ago. She's like, she needs to have at least some fun. She works so dang hard at so many different things.
I was actually discussing this with someone recently, and, it's shows why community news is so important is because, for instance, I was doing PR for, specifically San Manuel Band of Mission Indians or tribal government. That was, like, I would say my first, like, big professional role, and they donated $25 million to Loma Linda University Children's Hospital for the maternity ward back in 2018 or 2019. And, you know, working in PR, the job is to kind of help garner media coverage and whatnot. And LA news organization said it was the desert's responsibility. Desert said that it was LA's responsibility. So we're kind of in that gray area where people don't cover us unless it's a shooting, unless there's a fire or some kind of mass casualty event. So that speaks volumes as to why community news is so important, and I think why we need a partner
and
a lot more.
Like, when I get a bunch of complaints, man, I love San Bernardino, it's supposed to be uplifting. I look for your stuff, and I start posting from Gloria's, mm-hmm. From now yours. And your,
yeah.
Your, mm-hmm. And there's positive articles, like, and I often tell that to the Sun too. Mm-hmm. I tell that to. I've noticed a big change in everything San Bernardino, mm-hmm. right? They've been posting mm-hmm. a lot of positive stuff, which I love. That stuff, bring mm-hmm. it on, We can have some negative. It's okay. Right.
Yeah. Well, like, I want to say, Robert, I want to say it's not negative. It's the truth.
Yeah.
And I know the truth is not always positive.
Yeah. But like when there's just as many positive stories mm-hmm. as there is negative, and you tend to go for the more sensationalized right. negative stories, like that pop up right there in your right. Google right, right. algorithm.
Yeah.
Then you can change people's. How they feel.
Oh, we can find the balance.
So I can change. So, like, if I'm seeing a negative reaction on mm-hmm. the page, bad comments, somebody, mm-hmm. I can specifically put in positive things, right?
You know what was controversial in the past couple weeks is an article that we ran about the potholes in the city. And man, if you drive down, I believe, is it like 4th, 5th Street, 3rd Street?
If you drive down like those streets in Saturday, like, right
you're
now.
Literally playing Frogger driving yeah. down those streets. Yeah, mm-hmm. swerving into the other lane almost. So
that's what we need from you, councils. We need you to fix those potholes. I know right. you're working hard at it. Maybe you all should put on the orange vest and make an old team of you can't have more than two council members per team, though.
There you go. I'll see Fred and Damon on my street. Go ahead.
I used to fill potholes for a living.
NBC News Radio. I'm Chris Caraggio. At least 9 people are injured after a reported shooting near a beach in Florida. The incident happened Monday at the Hollywood Beach Broadwalk near Miami. A police spokesperson says one person of interest has been detained. Another is still at large. Live cam footage showed people running from the scene. Local authorities are urging people to avoid the area as an investigation is ongoing. President Biden is optimistic that the House and Senate will pass the debt ceiling deal by the deadline.
There is no reason why it shouldn't get done by the 5th. I'm confident that we'll get a vote in both houses.
The bill needs to be passed by June 5th to raise the debt ceiling or lawmakers risk defaulting on the nation's debt. Speaking to reporters outside the White House, Biden said the deal agreed to by his administration and House Speaker Kevin McCarthy is a bipartisan deal. The president said if more money was needed to fund the military, he's sure Congress would make that happen. An Iowa apartment complex that partially collapsed Sunday night will be demolished Tuesday morning. 8 people were rescued and an unknown number were injured after the historic 6-story building in Davenport partially came down. Davenport Mayor Mike Mattson said canine search units left the scene Monday afternoon after working through the night looking for survivors. Mattson added that officials haven't identified anyone else who could still be in the building. However, a woman said her grandmother hasn't been heard from since family members called her to tell her to evacuate the building. President Biden is honoring Americans who have lost their lives while serving the country. The president and others marked Memorial Day at Arlington National Cemetery this morning. Speaking after a wreath-laying ceremony at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, Biden said, "We must never forget the price that was paid to defend our democracy." He also said that tomorrow marks the 8th anniversary of the death of his son, Beau, who died from cancer a year after being deployed as a major in the Delaware Army National Guard in the Iraq War. He noted the pain of his loss is particularly sharp today, but he's also filled with pride for his son's service. I'm Chris Caraggio, NBC News Radio.
You're on board KCAA's Inland Talk Express. KCAA, Loma Linda, 1050.